Welcome back to the Top 5 Podcast, where each week we share a different Top 5 list brought up and contributed to by you, our listeners, to 93Q, the number one hip music station in Syracuse, New York. It's Ted and Amy and Joey Walker. Normally, Amy would be joining us, but she's off this week. So
Amy, you here?
Once again, it's just the two of us, bud.
Amy, where are you?
I don't know if she was traveling this week or not. I don't think she was going anywhere.
No. I don't think so.
Although I think among the things she was hoping to talk her husband into doing was one of those scenic Adirondack Railroad bike.
It looks like so much fun.
Where they have like the big 4-passenger bikes right on the rails of the railroad track. And you like pedal around the Adirondacks. How cool.
You got me excited about it until you said the pedaling part.
Yeah. Well,
can I just go and not pedal? Do I have to pedal?
Let me ask you, have you ever done a pedal boat with your wife?
We did a paddle boat for the first time last year at Old Forge when we were camping.
Did she contribute to it?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
The kids did not. They were useless for the paddle boat. They just sat there and enjoyed themselves. But the paddle boat is a great time when you're not paddling. So what we did was we paddled out to the center of the water at Old Forge, and we just sat there, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we had to paddle back, not so much.
See, at least your wife helps. My wife doesn't even help.
So it's all you paddling.
It's all me, and that means usually we're going around in a circle. I'm like, honey, you have to help a little bit.
You got to do something,
For some reason, she claims that her feet don't reach the pedals.
I'm going to use that excuse next time.
You ever do like one of those tandem bikes, bicycle built for two kind of
things? No, it's the things that take effort I don't do a lot of.
Okay.
So I've missed out on a lot of things.
How about the bar that you sit at that pedals down the road? Have you done that?
I've seen it.
Those are fun.
I like that you can get drunk while you're pedaling. That makes it a little better, right?
But somebody told me that there's a secret motor on it that you don't necessarily have to be pedaling in order to make the thing go.
So it's like a self-propelled lawnmower, you're telling me.
Yeah, they can kind of kick it into gear if they need to get a little extra boost. So
because of people like me who probably go on and pretend like they're putting all their effort in.
Sir, that's your fifth beer. You really will need to start pedaling now. All right, well, those are all favorite places to be. Our top five list this week is kind of personal for me. It's our least favorite places to be. And this is because my wife had to go to the emergency room this past weekend.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm going to share it with you right now, my number one least favorite place to be.
Awful.
Have you been to the emergency
room? I've been to the ER, unfortunately.
And it's not the staff. I mean, God bless the staff that are on hand in an emergency room doing the best they can to make sure, you know, everyone is prioritized and needs to be seen as soon as possible. For some reason, though, it is like a nut house. It's like a scene out of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the emergency room.
And there's plenty of reasons why it is an awful place to be. First of all, the reason why you're there is never a good reason.
No
one goes to the ER just to have fun. And
you're not in a happy mood when you show up.
No. Second of all is the surprise factor. You have no clue when you're going to be seen because what they do is they get you early. As soon as you get there, you tell them why, and they take you in the back, and you get excited thinking, oh, this is it. Game on. I'm going to get seen. This is going to be a quick visit. Then they send you back out to hell. It was all a tease.
It's called triage. They got to figure out who needs to be seen most importantly. You know, they kind of rank you as far as the other people that are in the emergency room. But, yeah, you're right. It's like you get excited, and then you're back in the waiting room.
Back there.
Then when they finally get you into the little emergency room for the doctor to check you out, That takes forever. Yeah, and then if you, God forbid, have to be admitted to the hospital, that's even longer. This was a 13-hour day from the emergency room.
Oh, God.
You know? But again, like I say, the staff, they're great.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a war zone in there.
It really is.
You know what
I'm
saying?
It's not a fun place to be.
So, yeah. So right off the bat, I will share that that's going to be top on my list. But that brought to mind some other unfavorite places to be.
Sure.
And I'm going to start out with my number five, and this dates back to my childhood. A fabric store. Have you ever gone to one of those fabric stores?
I've gone to Joann Fabrics.
Okay. My two older sisters used to drag me with them because they used to sew their own clothes back in the day. I'm talking the 60s.
Oh, yeah. You're going way back.
And they used to go in there, and not only would they flip through all the patterns of the dresses that they were looking at, you know, trying to find a pattern that they would use to make the dress, then we'd have to look through all the fabric. And I'm like 6-7 years old.
Yeah, that's not fun.
I would get such a headache sitting there waiting for my sisters to figure out what it was they were going to do.
But you went at a different time because I went to Joann Fabrics not too long ago, and they've changed. It's not as boring for somebody like me or you to go in there now.
Really?
They've upped their game. They got a lot going on. It's not just the fabric. But I'm sure when you were going, it was buttons. needles, fabric. It was a very boring trip.
And like these bolts of fabric.
Yeah.
That would like just be in like this big bin because they wouldn't want to spend a lot of money. So that they would go through all like the bargain bolts of fabric trying to find one that had enough stuff that they could make a dress out of.
Yeah. I think luckily, though, it's not as bad as it used to be. But I'm sure back when you were going and it was just fabric and nothing else.
Yeah.
It had to be probably a very boring time for you.
Even just thinking about it, I start getting a headache. I
right?
call it the fabric store headache. It's not a fun place to be, especially when you're a kid.
And they weren't sewing you anything, right? They weren't making your clothes.
No, my clothes came from the Husky department at Sears, my friend.
Oh,
I was a tough skins boy growing up.
The good old
Those
Husky
kind of
days.
Jeans that nothing could penetrate. I could fall on a stake and it wouldn't go through the fabric of these jeans.
My number five, you're going to find to be kind of weird because it's Ichiban. And not just Ichiban, any hibachi place.
What? I love hibachi.
Because what's my fear, Ted, in life?
I don't know. Catching fire from being splashed with sake?
No, I don't mind that. My fear is mushrooms. And what happens is my wife loves Ichiban. So whenever there was a celebration, we had to go and have dinner there. And I love everything about it when they're cooking in front of you. But the problem is not everybody at the table is part of your crew.
No, that's true.
So my crew is a non-mushroom eating crew. So what I have to do.
The whole family doesn't eat mushrooms.
No. So I'm happy about that. I love it. I'm going to go to this restaurant. I don't have to worry about mushrooms. The problem is it's not just our crew sitting at the table with us. So now I got to hope and pray the entire time that the crew sitting there, they also won't be into mushrooms.
Mm.
It never goes well because somebody always is into mushrooms. So when the chef says, you know, anything you guys don't want, we say, yeah, we don't want any mushrooms on anything. And then the guy in the other crew or whoever
right.
wants mushrooms. So now
so
I have to.
Even the mushrooms touching the top of the hibachi is enough to set you off.
Yes. 100%, Ted. And what happens is I can't enjoy myself because now I'm watching him cook the mushrooms to see where they're going because they move a lot because you know once they get the
it's a show
the paddles going and
it's
everything's flying and
yes
shrimps flying in hats
yeah oh yeah
I'm watching those mushrooms to see where they travel to so eventually what I now do is I get the meal cooked in the back
oh,
and now I
Joey.
Just watch.
You're missing the whole show of a
I'm still right? watching the show. My meal is just being cooked in the back kitchen.
Wow. Okay.
Well, everybody else's is getting cooked there. But it really, growing up, it's always been a rough time for me because of my fear of mushrooms and being at a place that does hibachi in front of you where you see the mushrooms and just dealing with that has just been an issue.
You know, despite the fact that I'm on the radio, you know I'm a relatively kind of a quiet, shy guy.
Yes.
So one of the secrets to going to Ichiban or any other hibachi restaurant is I have to sit at the seat that won't be connected to the other group of strangers.
You're just like me.
I have to sit at the seat where it's just me and then the rest of my family.
That's what I love.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to sit next to somebody I don't know.
I don't want to interact. I don't want to be chit-chatting. I want to be
about,
on the far side.
So when I go to a movie theater, if it's just the two of us, like I took my son, for example.
Okay.
I got to have the end seat so I'm not sitting next to a stranger.
Same.
We're alike.
I know. I'm the same. I don't know why that is. I mean, I'm not like not nice. It's just that for some reason, I don't like interacting with them.
Unless you know
people
the
I
person.
Don't, yeah.
If I'm comfortable with you.
That's different.
I'll sit next to you all day.
That's different, yes. But isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's the key to hibachi restaurants for me.
We're both very strange, I think.
All right, number four on my list of least favorite places to be, waiting for car repairs.
Mm.
It's one thing if you're dropping the car
off. That's a good one.
And picking it up the next day. For some reason, sitting in that little waiting room at the garage while my car's being worked on drives me absolutely crazy. I don't know if it's the fact that the only channel they get is the one that shows all the judge shows.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Judge Joe Brown.
Like back-to-back judge shows. Or it's stuck on like headline news or something. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I don't care.
I think it's the window, too, because you can see, but you can't see everything.
Yeah.
So you use that window to as much advantage as you can where you're peering out looking, why haven't they looked at my car? What's going on out there?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this car up on the rafters? Where's my car?
Mm-hmm.
And you start obsessing over it. At least I do.
Right.
Wondering when is it going to be my car's turn? It's almost back to the ER.
It is. It's very similar.
But this time, unlike the ER, you're getting a little bit of a glimpse into what's actually happening. You're witnessing the magic at hand.
That might be fun and interesting to do. It would pass the time more than sitting there watching the judge shows. But let me give you an example. The most recent thing I had to have done, I had to have my windshield replaced.
Okay.
Not once, but twice.
Wow.
A stone put a little nick in it.
Yeah.
Got it, went to the repair place, had to wait for it. And with COVID, they don't even let you stay in the waiting room. You got to kind of like wander around the neighborhood while it's being worked on, unless you get a ride from somebody else.
Okay.
So I get the windshield refixed.
Sounds pretty quick in my mind.
It's not. Well, I mean, you have to make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to wait. So I'm driving home 3 days later. Doesn't it happen again? Stone flies off a dump truck, nicks the windshield.
Just bad luck.
It was terrible luck. So, yeah, so that was my most recent experience.
And then you're sitting there.
Yeah.
That's why I'd rather just be dropped off and call me when it's done.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind. I'll call the dealership. Hey, I'm going to leave the keys in the little slot box. I'll pick it up the next day.
Yeah. Last time I had to do anything at the mechanic shop was I just had a simple plug for my tire. My tire, I ran over a screw or whatever. They just had to plug it up.
Right.
I was there. It felt like an eternity just sitting there waiting for them just to
do the plug.
Plug the tire. Oh, and then what, man. I like is they always bring out the item that was doing it and they give it to you. Like, I don't need the screw that plugged my tire that caused this.
Is this your screw, sir? Because you drove over it in your driveway and you popped your tire.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they'll have like a jar and then you can put it
in
the jar.
It's like when
the
doctor gives you a kidney stone. I really don't need that.
I'm good.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I believe you. I don't need it. Number four on my list, and this is because of what happened on our way to Florida and back home from Florida. We went to Disney a few months back, and that's being stuck in an airport with children.
Ooh.
I think if we were solo, if it was just my wife and I, it'd be okay. But going to the airport with children is not easy when you have to switch planes and you have to do so in a timely manner because you're arriving to Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
And you got to be on your next flight in X amount of time. And you've got 1,000 carry-on bags because my wife likes to pack everything possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the two kids, and they can't carry the suitcase.
They're
so
no help. They're no help at all.
So now I'm carrying my wife's carry-on, my carry-on, the two kids' carry-ons, and running through an airport that's crowded as can be. It's not like Syracuse. I mean, it's a jam-packed airport. It's a very bad spot to be in.
Yeah.
So it's not fun. And especially when you had kids in the mix, being stuck inside an airport, rushing through, that's it's a terrible place to be.
Are they pretty good travelers? Are they good on the plane?
Great on the plane.
Okay. It's just the actual switching planes or
yeah.
just
waiting. It's tough not to be good on a plane nowadays because we took Delta, and each flight, you know, you had your TV, your personal TV on the seat. You've got every movie you can think of that you can watch.
Sure.
I mean, how can you not be entertained on a plane for the, you know, 2 hours, wherever it may be you're on?
Does Delta have the free in-flight Wi-Fi, or do you have to pay for that?
I think you might have had to pay for the Wi-Fi. Okay. I'm trying to think if we had free Wi-Fi or not. You're so glued to the TVs, and they got games and stuff, you're not even looking at your phone. So I don't think they did have the free Wi-Fi, to be honest with you.
I almost put airports on my list. I didn't, but one of my least favorite places to be is Zone 6 of the boarding lineup.
For now, that's when you're waiting to get boarded?
Yeah. You know, where they load, you know, the first people on are, like, moms with children and those with special needs.
Sure.
And then, like, military veterans or, you know, that kind of, and then, you know, they gradually, I'm always in the last zone, and I don't know why. Is
that's
it something you have to pay extra for?
I don't know how that works.
Because when you're last getting on the plane, all the overhead carry things are taken.
Yep.
You know, you got to shove it under your seat or whatever.
And now you got to maneuver because there's so many people on that plane already. You're stepping on people's feet.
Yeah.
You're trying to get by this person and that person. It's a disaster.
I don't know. I think you got to pay extra to move up in zones or something.
Well, we took advantage of the first, if the kids were allowed to be... if you had children, you're allowed to go on first.
Right.
So we always would take advantage of that feature.
Okay. Well, see, maybe that's worth, like, borrowing somebody's kid.
Yeah, you could probably just take somebody's kid at the airport and just say, hey, I've got this kid, and then give it back to the parent after you get on.
I will
just
say,
use that,
there was a time when my wife had a problem with her ankle and she had to wear the boot.
Oh, that probably scored you some points.
We used that to get on the plane first. And then during our vacation, her ankle got better and she didn't need the boot, but we put it back on when we got on at the airport. To come back home because you get on the plane first.
There you go. Save the boot.
Save the boot.
I might have to borrow that boot next time we travel.
Okay. Number three on my list of least favorite places to be, getting back to the whole car repair thing, broke down on the side of the road with no opportunity to get a hold of anyone to come and
pick. Oh, that'd be a terrible place to be.
It is terrible. My parents went on vacation when I was in high school, and I was allowed to use mom's car, but only for like trips to the grocery store or whatever I needed to do. And of course, I took it and went up to Canton to visit my cousin at college.
Okay.
And the Universal joint fell out of the car in Mexico, New York.
Oh, my God.
And this is pre-cell phone days.
Yeah.
So I had no way to get a hold of anybody to let them, you know, no AAA, no nothing like that.
Nothing.
I had to scramble around, figure out who I could. I think I wound up calling one of my brothers or something.
I mean, is that the type of time period where you would flag somebody down that's driving by?
Oh, yeah. This is back when you could hitchhike without, you know, really worrying about being murdered by a serial killer.
Oh, man.
But it was awful. So, yeah, I'm on the side of the road on 81, and we hitchhiked into Mexico, New York, and finally found a place that was open that had a phone and I could call somebody.
You know, it's crazy because nowadays when you drive by somebody who looks like they're broken down, your first thought has always been in life, do they need help? Should I pull over and help them? But then you stop and think, who doesn't have a cell phone?
That's the thing. Everybody's got a cell phone now.
What am I going to help them with? I'm sure they've already made every phone call necessary, and they're going to be just fine. But, I mean, back in the day, if you saw somebody broken down, it was a big deal. You'd pull the car over. Do you need help, sir? What happened? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? Do you need me to drive you to the gas station to fill up a gas can, and then we'll go bring it back?
By the way, I was able to get the car towed back to Marcellus and just played dumb when mom and dad said what was wrong with the car.
Why weren't you honest? You didn't do anything wrong.
Because I wasn't supposed to take the car and go to Canton to visit my cousin at college.
You stole the vehicle.
Well, I borrowed
it. I thought you borrowed it.
I was allowed to use it.
I thought
it
they
for
okayed. I thought they gave you the approval on
this. No. They had no clue.
Well, that's not nice, Ted.
No. But and that's one of my least favorite things is waiting for someone to pick you up.
Yeah, that may have been
broke down.
You know what we call that? Karma, Ted. That's called karma for stealing the vehicle.
Could be.
My number three, similar to yours, is just being stuck in any sort of a traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of traffic where it's standstill.
Okay.
And it always, we're going to be going on vacation soon. We're going to Ocean City, Maryland. And for some reason, every year we go, when we get to Philadelphia, anywhere in that area, I can guarantee you there's going to be construction going on somewhere, and we're going to be in standstill traffic for 30 minutes at some point.
Route 76 through Philadelphia is always bad. When you're coming off like the Pennsylvania Turnpike on 76,
that's
almost
it
like at a dead stop.
And there's always construction going on.
Yeah.
They have not fixed it. I don't understand. There's always construction going on. Eventually, isn't the road fixed? If there's always construction?
Well, look at any highway in Pennsylvania. They're all pretty much pieces of crap. Have you ever noticed that every highway in Pennsylvania is always under construction?
And there's not much area to pull over in Pennsylvania when you have an issue.
No, very true. Speaking of traveling with the kids, we went down to West Palm Beach, Florida one year, drove with three kids in the back of a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
This doesn't sound fun.
And this was a brutal road trip. And 95, this was during the holidays. Route 95, 95 all the way down the coast.
Yep.
Dead standstill from about North Carolina until you cross the Georgia state line.
Oh.
It was brutal.
You had to be in that car forever.
Yeah. I don't know what. I think it was a major accident is what was happening. But all lanes of traffic just stopped. And, I mean, there's nothing to do.
And the kids must be complaining like crazy because my kids, I mean, now we go a couple blocks and they start getting bored in a vehicle unless they have an iPad or whatever. Yeah. They have to be entertained now. Where back then, that's before your iPad and the ways that you could entertain
the kids
in the vehicle.
You had to play the car games like spot the license plate and all that stuff. Yeah,
sure.
That's
Padiddle.
Yes.
Remember
the
Padiddle?
Headlights. Yep.
Yep.
That's when you bring out the NyQuil and you say, hey,
I don't know.
Hey, kids, you sound a little sniffly. And then they
take
fall asleep.
This.
Yeah.
Then and then they sleep the rest of the way.
Yeah. You drug them.
Yeah.
It usually helps.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
That's brutal, though. Yeah. I mean, I know what you're
traffic
stuck
jams are not fun for anybody.
All right. Number two on my list of least favorite places to be, any school function / SAT test.
100%.
When I say any school function, I mean like a graduation ceremony. My stepdaughter's last name begins with a V. It was brutal waiting for her to cross the stage at graduation because she was at the end.
Yep.
Any elementary school band or chorus function, any of those things, brutal for me.
You know what they should do with the graduation ceremony? They should give everybody a time slot.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter is going to be mentioned at this time exactly.
Then you just you pop
show up,
in.
You pop in. You congratulations. Yeah. You clap. You leave. And now the next person comes in for that time slot.
And what is the deal with when they, very first, before the ceremony even gets underway for like a graduation, they say, please hold your applause until all the graduates have crossed the stage.
At no point in life has anybody held their applause.
The minute the first kid goes across the stage, they're blowing air horns and sirens are going off and confetti's falling. It's like crazy.
LHS class of 2000, Ted. One of my proud moments.
Really?
I say I got one of the loudest claps.
Really?
I really do.
Standing
I think so.
Standing out from the
I got a top five clap for class of 2000.
Wow.
I think so. At least I want to... I feel like I did.
And this after they cautioned, please don't make any noise until all the graduates.
Yeah, I still got a top five clap. Okay. Big applause.
And when I say SAT test, this is back in the day. Well, I still don't think schools have air conditioning, right?
That's a good question.
You're in a gym, you're taking that test, and you can't leave until the time is up.
Now, did you have the Scantron sheet? Were you dealing with that?
Filling the bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than that.
No, no. And is it me, or do you just, like, all of a sudden you're, like, thinking you know a pattern that they're using?
I always used to try to guess.
So you just go right down the row and just fill in the bubbles you think it is?
I never knew the answer, so I always tried to figure out some kind of a system in my head of what pattern they were using.
Then you ask your friends, hey, was there, like, 50 answer C's in a row? No. Damn!
Whenever there's an all of above, I always feel like that's got to be
trick
it.
Trick question?
It's got to be all of the, all of the above. That sounds good.
Yeah, school function, SAT test, anything like that. Are your kids in band or chorus or anything?
Not yet. The closest I've had to deal with that is my niece's dance recital.
Oh, dance recitals.
And it was about an hour and a half, and she's very young.
Mm-hmm.
She's only like 7, so she was only in like 2 dances because they have all different ages involved.
Right, right.
But they weren't 2 dances at the start where you could just watch her and then leave and say, okay, we went. It was a dance at the start, dance at the end. So we're there the entire time watching Sally and Jennifer.
You can't leave.
All these kids we don't know.
Right.
Because we have to wait till the end to see her other dance.
Yeah. And are you obligated to go to those when it's a relative, like a niece or a nephew?
I think it's optional.
Really?
I feel like a good person, though, when I do show
up. For some reason, we all had to go and watch my niece's violin concerto. It was like, oh, like elementary school violin concerto.
Maybe it should just be parents and grandparents are forced to go to those functions.
Yeah.
Aunts and uncles can be eliminated.
I don't know how we got roped into that. Or at least how, because it was my wife's niece. I'm only the uncle by marriage.
Oh, so it's worse for you. The same here.
Yeah.
It was my wife's niece.
Right.
I'm the uncle by marriage. And I still went.
Can't I just drop her off and let her enjoy the violin concerto?
I think that should be.
And then I'll come back and pick her up?
It should be allowed. That should be okay. Number 2 on my list is a weird one, but if you've ever been, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's Walmart, but not the store Walmart. I'm not knocking Walmart. It's a great place to go.
Okay.
But cashing out at Walmart is hell. You wait in the longest lines, and they don't move, and everybody cashes out. It feels like at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're going to self-checkout. It doesn't matter if you're going to lane 3 or wherever.
Yeah, right.
The line is so long and it takes forever to cash out at Walmart that I actually, when I go in, I hope I don't find anything to buy.
Oh, wow.
You never tried? Bad. Have you ever cashed out at Walmart?
I have a Walmart cash out hack, Joey.
What is it?
What you do is you go back to the electronics department and you buy like a charger cord and then they will check out all your other items as well.
So you're buying an item you don't need just to get past
Yep, I am. Batteries. Buy a little package of batteries. Check out at the electronics department.
I just bought a Walmart membership. And what does
that get you?
A Walmart membership. It was like $100 for the year.
Skip the line? Is it like one of those Walt Disney skip the line passes?
It doesn't allow you to skip the line, but it allows for free delivery to your home.
Okay.
It allows you to pick up your grocery, which anybody can. You don't need a membership for that. But it also allows this, a way for you to scan out your items in the store and then just walk out.
That is genius.
You got to be a member to get this. You have to pay for their membership.
Okay.
So now when I go, I can scan the item I want in the cart and then say, I'm out.
With what? Like your phone?
Yeah, all done with your phone.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's well worth the money.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So now you can skip the line.
Does anybody look at you a little strange though?
I haven't
used it yet.
Walking
out the door? Oh.
I just downloaded this feature. I just purchased this.
Okay.
Because we wanted the grocery delivery and I was reading the fine print and it said, now I also have this included.
Wow.
So I haven't tried. I'll let you know how
there's
it goes.
Like a greeter that's checking to make sure you actually paid for the items.
Somebody's got to be doing something,
so.
Right?
I would think so.
Probably the greeter. That's why they have greeters maybe at Walmart.
Maybe
when you
just
leave,
double check
to check the people who are using that.
Have
feature.
You seen those videos online? Have you seen like the TikTok videos and things though, where people are just like shoplifting, like going out of stores with like carts of things,
really,
and no one stops them?
It's awful.
It is. It's terrible. It's terrible, but and the results in the rest of us paying more for the stuff in the store.
Yeah.
You know? All right.
Well, we already mentioned your number one, so I'll skip ahead to my number one.
Go for it.
My number one, the worst place to ever be stuck, a public restroom.
Well, depends on the public restroom, though. Like, are we talking like the 60-year-old Shell station on the corner? That
yeah,
public restroom?
That's bad.
Or are we talking like a restaurant, public restroom?
For me, it's any public restroom, even the nice ones, which we mentioned. Wegmans has a great public restroom.
The Wegmans in DeWitt. It's like Italian marble they have this restroom made out of.
Really?
Something like that.
You could eat dinner off the floor in that restroom, I'm sure.
Well, I wouldn't want to try. How about the casino? Casino's got fabulous restrooms.
Beautiful restrooms. So it's not about the restroom itself, but for somebody like me who fears going to the bathroom in public, add that to my mushroom phobia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be stuck in it. I don't want to have to use a public restroom. I don't want to be stuck in a public restroom. I don't want to go into a public restroom. So that would be, for me, the worst place to ever have to go.
Do you use the one here?
To go number one.
Just the urinal.
Just number one. The urinal's my friend.
Okay.
Use that many times a day because I drink a lot of water, a lot of coffee.
Yeah, I don't have an issue really with public restrooms other than the kind, like I say, at the old gas stations where you do you have to ask for a key?
That massive key?
Is there someone trying to break into the restrooms in these gas stations? I don't understand why
and
you need
so
a key.
And it's so big. They always have like something big connected to it. Like
So the hot water heater's in there or whatever. I don't know why they have to lock it up.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning is, to be honest with you on that.
I mean, are people living in the restroom at gas stations or something? They need to police it with a key?
No, I do like the fact that it's usually a solo restroom. If I'm going to have to go, give me a solo bathroom.
Yeah, but you don't want to sit on a seat in those restrooms.
No, but I don't like a crowd either. So give me a solo restroom over anything.
Okay.
That's why at Wegmans,
yeah,
big fan of the family restroom. You ever go to the family restroom?
What's the difference with a family restroom?
It's a solo. It's your own bathroom.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, usually I know some Wegmans.
One seater. I call those one seaters.
It's just you in there. You got your own door. You shut it. You got your own sink, your own toilet.
Okay.
It's your own kingdom.
Is it like a co-ed one, though?
I don't know. Well, Wegmans has it.
Do moms go in there, too?
Well, I think Wegmans has it inside both men's and women's bathrooms.
Okay.
So there'll be like a separate door if you're going into the women's room or the men's room.
Right.
And it leads you into the family restroom where you can bring the kid is what it's for.
All right. Because I feel bad with those co-ed restrooms. Not that you're in there at the same time, but like if a woman's going to go in after me, I just feel like I got to apologize right off the bat.
It's got to be tough for
you. Brutal.
Walking out, she's going in.
It's not pretty.
And you know what she's walking into.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's okay for you to send me in there.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. Have at it, buddy. Sorry I wrecked the place.
The person that would have to be dying to go number two in a public restroom.
All right. Well, there you go. Those are obviously some least favorite places to be. Do you have any honorable mentions, things that didn't make? Like I said, I was going to put waiting in the airport, you know, in the last seating zone.
Shopping for clothes with my wife is always a terrible place to be. Just because she looked. I feel like when I go shopping, I know what I want. I get it and I leave. She has to touch everything and try it on.
I'm the exact same way. I know what I want. I go in, I see it, I get it, I leave.
It's the done deal.
Right. My wife is the same way, though. She's got to walk around. And when we go like visit like a little village like Skinny Atlas or Old Forge or something, she's got to go in and out every single tiny little store. I'm like, honey, it's the same T-shirts that you just saw in the last store. Do we need to go through everything? Yes, we do.
And most of the time, she's probably not even getting anything, but it's just so time-consuming because she's got to go in and look.
Exactly. I mean, I love the merchants, love the, you know, the little shops in Skinny Atlas. She's got to go in and out of
everyone. Just one's fine.
I know.
You go in one, you're good. Happened to us in Old Forge recently.
Yeah.
She wanted to go in every little store.
Every little, tiny little shop.
One's good.
All right. Well, there you go. Our least favorite things. If you want to comment, feel free to go on to our Ted and Amy 93Q Facebook page. That's where every Tuesday we do our Top 5 Tuesday for that week's podcast. We reveal whatever topic it is, and you can contribute your contributions. And we appreciate it so much. Thank you again for joining us. I believe all three of us are back next week for the Top 5 podcast.
That's right. Back to normal next week.
There you go. Make sure if you get a chance to tune in and find out what the topic is. Again, you can find our Top 5 topic along with all of our other Ted and Amy On Demands online at the website 93Q.com, through the app, or wherever you get your fine podcasts. Thanks for tuning in to the Top 5 podcast.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.